This lesson lends itself to some things that I think might be helpful, particularly for our kids that are here. So if you are a kid, you can label yourself a kid or not. I have special outlines up here for you. So if you want to come up here and get a special outline, and I've got 5 bags of crayons. Some of you might have crayons already, all right? But if you complete your outline, I have suckers for you that I will give you at the end of the service. You just need to show me your outline, and I'll probably have some left over. If adults finish their outline and really need a piece of candy, I will get that for you. So there you are. Don't do anything on that till I give you instructions. I will tell you everything to do all the way. Does anybody need crayons? You already have them. You don't need crayons? Do you need pencils? All right, you can each take a pencil. And here's a bag of crayons for anybody that needs one. All right, Josh. Oh, he wants a sucker. Yeah, okay, there you go. So there you have it, and one left. All right, you guys can go back to your seats. If you pay attention, I'll tell you what to do every step of the way. And hopefully it'll maybe be helpful to just help and remember the lesson tonight. So we'll begin in verse 24. Okay, verse 24, and we'll read all the way through verse 43 tonight. So we read, and he put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" Let's pray, and then we'll look into the Word. God, we thank you again for the opportunity we have and for the Word that we hold in our hands, that week after week, we have the opportunity to hear proclaimed to us through the preaching of your word. Lord, and day by day, we can read it, we can memorize it. There's some verses that are stuck in our minds that have been there for years that continue to we're reminded of, that encourage us and strengthen us to do your will, to obey your precepts and giving us confidence when things may be difficult or dark. And so we thank you for it tonight and the opportunity that we have to study it together. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. And again, we see in verse 34, we talked about this a little bit last week, or wasn't last week. I keep thinking last week, next week, and Matthew gets scattered around a little bit of other things happening on Sunday nights. But a couple weeks ago, as we looked earlier in Matthew, the parables, the reason for parables that people wouldn't understand, they couldn't see, they couldn't grasp it. In verses 34 and 35, really explains that to us again, even from the time of the prophets, to look at it and say, look, Jesus taught in parables because there were things that people just, you know, they couldn't understand. They have been hidden since the foundation of the world. And even once they are opened up, people may be still left scratching their head and said, I just don't understand and I don't get it, because their eyes have not been spiritually opened to really understand and grasp these things. You know, so that's the reason for parables. And he gives us three of them in this passage and in this section. And as we look at that, and he opens it up and explains them, he's explaining to them what the kingdom is like. Tonight our title is Give It Time. And each one of these parables has a little connection to time. Just wait and see. Wait and see. And so we'll see that as they unfold. So we'll begin with the parable. Some call it the parable of the weeds. Some people might have the weeds and the tares. The tares, they say, kind of like a thistle, if that helps at all. But at the beginning, we realize parables are physical stories, kind of in the physical world and the physical realm, that open up a spiritual truth and an understanding to those who have the spiritual eyes to see it. And so that's what he's working on here. And we've got the parable of the weeds, and then we've got the explanation later on. So we're going to get the bookends first, the beginning and the end, as we look at these things. So if we can have the chart up there. There's a chart that you can fill in. I tried to figure out how to do it step by step, but technology and I guess we're friends, but it still controls me. But the physical and the spiritual, the fact that there's the sower in that story, it tells us later on, is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. The enemy of the sower, who was the Son of Man, is the devil. And the devil, the seeds that he plants, the weeds, well, those are the sons of the evil one. And the servants who came to the master, to the sower, and said, hey, what do you want us to do with these weeds? How is it that we ought to handle these things? Well, later on, we see in the explanation, in verses 36 to 43, Jesus tells them, well, those are the angels. Those are the angels. And the harvest, once the wheat gets to full grain and the harvest time comes, he says, well, that is the end of the age. And then in the chart, I wasn't sure how else to describe it other than the separation. The fact that, hey, we're going to gather the weeds, we're going to burn them, we're going to gather the wheat, that goes into the barn. And then saying that is compared spiritually to judgment. In verse 42, he says, throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth. The fires of the furnace that would burn the weeds compared to the fires of hell in judgment. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom. Again, the righteous gathered in the kingdom compared to the wheat that is gathered into the barn. So that's the comparison that we have in the chart that was there. And we look kind of at the message of this that's going to be helpful as we explain it. And for you kids, that first box that you've got right on the top, it says wheat and weeds on top. So in that box, if you'd like to draw a picture of a harvest, there's a picture up here of wheat already. There will be in just a second. Wheat and weeds. There's a picture of wheat that will help you draw wheat if you want to. You can include combines and tractors and silos and barns, whatever you want, although there were no combines or tractors that they were gathering wheat at this time. But the idea, just to remember, just a picture of a wheat harvest. You can put people out there and whatever else, because that's what we want to remember. So in this, when we look at this parable of the wheat and the weeds, the primary point that we see really is that the enemy seeks to hinder the kingdom. The enemy seeks to hinder the kingdom. You know, for any farmer, you know, you work and you work and you work, and we talked last 2 weeks ago again. Get the crop ready. You know, and you get the soil where it needs to. You time everything to plant the seed at the right time, and you've done everything that you need to do. So I can remember a few fields just when I was getting started. So when I would go out there and I would measure, Pastor Jonathan mentioned, I said, he's on it. He knows a few farmers even from Linesville. 2.5 inches deep. I'd go out with a little ruler, stick it in the ground to find out if that corn was the right depth. And I was just kind of learning this process. I was given more responsibility when I was younger. And man, I wanted to get it right. And you go out there and every 3 inches, there's a corn stalk. Yes. You know, I did it right. Now, somebody comes in and messes that up, I'm not going to be happy. You know, it's going to be discouraging. And we look at even the devil there planting wheat or weed seeds so the weeds grow up with the wheat. Well, that also affects the harvest. I don't know if you know if you're driving around and you're looking at a soybean field or not, but what happens around here more than anything else, there's a soybean field and somewhere there's a random stalk of corn. You know, in there. We call that volunteer corn. It just came up all by itself. Probably planted last year or maybe the year before, or animals stopped by and there you go. You've got volunteer corn. Well, you get rid of that because it corrupts the harvest. You don't want corn in your soybeans. And so in this point, he's trying to hinder the work of the kingdom. And we're going to put some weeds out there. So it's going to make the harvest more difficult. We're going to put weeds out there and maybe thinking that, hey, I can somehow take control of these things. And we certainly understand, you know, if the sower is Jesus Christ, well, the enemy of Jesus Christ and the work of God is the devil. Trying to put an end to that work or gain a foothold somewhere in those things. So there's an enemy, maybe making it difficult for us who are sons of the kingdom. But we also see, even though as the enemy seeks to hinder the kingdom, this parable teaches us that the Lord of the harvest will bring it to completion. The Lord of the harvest brings it to completion. Again, we look at this with the parable of the weeds back in verse 24, actually looking at verse 28. You know, the servants have come and said, we did everything right. Didn't we plant wheat? Why are there weeds here? He said, well, the enemy did this. He said, well, should we go get rid of the weeds? And he says, no, don't gather up the weeds. He says, I'm not going to worry about the weeds. We're just going to leave it because we don't want to affect the harvest. And the harvest is going to come to its completion. The Lord of the harvest will make sure that happens. You know, in the story he tells, he says, no, we'll gather the harvest just like we always do. And everything will work out just the way it needs to work out. Yes, there's going to be a little bit more work. There's going to be some gathering and burning and separating and all of those things. But yet, I will have my harvest and the weeds will be destroyed. He's sovereignly in control of all things. This situation, no matter what it is that the enemy is seeking to do to the sower, to the master, he says, it's not going to change a thing. We're going to gather our harvest. You know, in that comparison, we look at it, just a comparison with the devil. I almost thought singing some of the songs this morning, oh, I could have saved that for tonight. Oh, I could have saved that for tonight. You know, this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, but God has willed his truth to triumph through us. You know, as you look at that, whatever the devil, whatever the enemy may throw at the kingdom, God will bring it to completion. And all of those that he's going to gather in to himself will be there. And he also will gather up the weeds, bind them in bundles, and set them aside to be burned. So we see that the end will reveal those who are his. The end will reveal those who are his. And just to understand, he says, look, the end of the day. Well, no, and looking at this, just kind of curious, different people and commentators that look at this. Says, you know, the field is the world. You know, we can look around at our world and say, absolutely, I know there are some weeds out there. There are weeds, but in some ways, some commentators look and say, yeah, but the weeds, when we look at it, those weeds that are way off and deny Jesus Christ, who want nothing to do with God's word or spiritual things, as well, they're pretty easy to see. And how much do they affect the sons of the kingdom? Well, they are enemies. There may be temptations there. A lot of commentators look at this and say, well, those who are sown in the field with the sons of the kingdom are maybe more closely related. He says the world, so we see the big picture there, but yet to say there are a lot of people who are very, very religious. A lot of people who will say all of the right things because they've been taught to say all of the right things. They grew up and gathered information, and they know what needs to be done. You know, and we can look at that and say, well, time will tell. The fruit that is there, it will be revealed, those who are his. And some of those, we look at all throughout history. We can go back biblically, say there are people who say this is what we are. This is what is right. This is what is true, and yet they're false prophets. They are false teachers. They're in the church and leading people astray. In our day and age, they're on TV and telling everybody, this is what the Bible says, and they are way, way off. And those are weeds that the enemy has put in amongst the wheat to try to impact and affect the wheat in a negative way and impact the harvest. And they do, they lead people astray. But in this parable, we look at it and say, what a wonderful truth that God says, yeah, I know they're there. And I will deal with them. And at the end of the day, when the Lord's day comes, they will be destroyed. They will be burned. They will be gathered, and they will not be a part of the harvest. And he tells them that here. He says, time will tell, and those who are mine will be revealed. And for the, again, just parables, and for the you know, disciples, even looking at that, wanting to know more about it, it says it's the angels that are the servants, but I would venture to guess, you know, at the same time, disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, has said, what are we supposed to do with this? We've looked back in different places, in 1 Corinthians, even Paul says, look, if the gospel's being preached, I'm not worried about their motivations. You know, and even those, there may be some, their motivation is wrong, they're saying the right things, but their heart is not right. Well, that will all be revealed in the day. And he says, you just keep proclaiming the kingdom. Because as, well, Augustine said, he said, well, who knows whether some of those weeds might become wheat. You know, that's our go, proclaim the gospel, teach the gospel, be faithful and follow Christ. He said, all of those weeds, I will deal with them when the time comes. I know who they are, and their judgment will be sealed. So that's the wheat and the weeds. The next parable he gives us is the mustard seeds. All right, mustard seeds. Now, as we read that, we can read this again. I think Pastor Jonathan said, he says, yes, some of these parables are just a verse or just a word. You know, we will look at this, and as he's talking about these parables, the mustard seed in verse 31, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it's larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Now, some people look at this and say, oh, the mustard seed isn't the smallest seed. Okay, it's not the smallest seed. You know, it's a smaller seed. You know, just tiny little thing. And yet it yields a tree. Somebody, yeah, it's not that big a tree. It's really more of a bush. Yep, they couldn't get to be 10 feet high. It's all the more tree it is. You know, but the point of the parable isn't really like, oh, that's the smallest seed and it's the biggest tree. It says, no, it starts as a seed and it ends up as a tree. And we'll get there. So for the kids, your outline, there's a little box in there. Draw a seed. I don't even care what kind of a seed. It doesn't have to be a mustard seed. I mean, it could be an acorn if you want to draw an oak tree. It can be one of those spinny maple seeds that come down that you throw up in the air and play with. But you're going to draw a seed in a little box, and in the other one, you're going to draw a tree. And if you want to put birds in nests in that tree, that is fantastic. That is your call. You can draw whatever tree that you want. But as we look at this, the idea, again, with that seed is it may not seem like much at the start. It might not seem like much at the start. Now, you can go out here on the hill and find acorns. Right, Dan? Lots of acorns out here in the spring. Now, an acorn isn't very much. It's kind of a big seed as seeds go. But compare it to an oak tree. Well, it's tiny. It's weak. You get it under your heel and you can squash it. Now, that's what a seed is. We look at seeds. This is a tiny little seed, which doesn't seem like very much at the start. But the reality, we look at that just like any seed, as it matures, it grows in its strength. I almost put in there, maybe a better word in there is, as it matures, it grows in its scope. But I think strength is good, because it says, you know, it's just a seed, which essentially is nothing more than bird food. Tiny little thing birds would eat. But as time goes on, it germinates and it grows and it grows. And it grows, it ends up providing shade for birds. Multiple birds, even. Branches that are strong, and it holds nests. And that's, again, he's comparing this and the idea with a kingdom. And we realize a tree doesn't show up. You know, if you ever planted a tree, a few seeds in the ground, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. We've got two peach trees in our yard now. And they're still not very big. I think maybe this fall we'll have some fruit if I let them go. We'll see what happens. But it takes a long time for them to grow to maturity. It takes a long time for there to be any fruit. But he says, you know, it might not seem like much at the start. But as time goes on, you will see it for what's in that seed. He compares that to the kingdom. You know, again, looking at his apostles in particular, but we can look at that and say, I wonder how big the kingdom of God is. Well, who do I see around? You know, I maybe know, I was going to say a handful, but maybe a number of handfuls of people who are part of that kingdom. But how easily, even for the apostles, when they know that there's others that are around, just like we think back, you know, to the provinces, I'm Elijah, I am all alone. I'm the only one that's left. So, well, that's not true. You are not alone. And although it may seem like, how big is that kingdom? Well, the kingdom is strong. The kingdom is great in its scope. And that provides for us and meets our needs. So that idea just of a seed. You can imagine any seed, but he gives a mustard seed there. This is how it starts. And look what it becomes. Because the life of that tree is in the seed. And over time, it is revealed what that is. And the kingdom will be revealed and seen far more glory and grandeur and scope and strength than what we envision when maybe we see just seeds. But there's the mustard seeds. And finally, the parable of the leaven. The parable of the leaven. And that's in verse 23. On just one verse. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. All right. So now, we have something else for the kids, and some of you have been asking questions since we got here. What is happening down there? All right, well, this afternoon we spent a little bit of time. If the kids want to come up, you can see. If anybody else really wants to see, you can come up too. I will not hold you back. Just what's in these containers, and I have something else that I'm going to give to you. All right? I was going to actually mix on the table, but I was afraid I would have nothing but a mess by the time I was done. All right? Does anybody know what this is?
Flour.
Okay. It's cinnamon rolls.
Cinnamon.
Yeah. Does it look like cinnamon rolls?
No.
Not at all. Not at all. The one ingredient that I don't have here, anybody know what this is?
No.
Anybody out there know what this is?
Yeast.
All right. Well, you guys are good. Have you done some baking? All right, just some baking a long time ago. I asked your mom, I said, do you make things with yeast? And she says, I make donuts. I said, well, that counts. All right, so this packet is yeast, and I'll just dump it in the bowl.
Mom, put that in our pizza.
She puts that in your pizza.
Ooh,
it's an important ingredient. It's not very much in there,
yeah.
And it might seem kind of insignificant, but we mix these things all together with this yeast inside of it. Can you smell it? You guys can smell it too. All right. You want to smell it, Josh? You're good. All right. But we see the ingredient for yeast, the small little thing that we might put in. Now, there's a picture up there. That is what the dough for the bread we're going to make later looks like. Well, I'm going to make later. But when we started, and you guys can tell me, does that look different?
Yes.
What's the difference?
It's all made.
It's all made.
And it's bigger.
It's bigger. So when we're done, we're going to smash it down, but not right now. All right? If you want to come at the end, then you can touch it and see what it feels like. All right? If you want to do that. You want to taste the dough?
No.
Oh. You can if you want. I'll let you. But I'm going to give each of you a packet of yeast. All right? So if you guys want to bake something, you can. There are other leaveners. There you go. You guys can go back to your seats. All right? So now, you kids, when you get, well, I'll let you get back there first. When you get to your seats, your third and final picture for tonight, I was going to put some arrows on there for you. You can draw a picture of bread, all right? Or you can draw a picture of the process of making bread. You can put all of the ingredients in there and put an arrow to a bowl with dough falling out of it, and then you can put an arrow to bread or donuts or pizza crust or whatever it is that you want to make with your leaven. All right? That's what your picture is going to be. But when we look at this and we think about leaven, and anybody who's ever worked with it, you realize it is a small but important ingredient. It's a small, but it's an important ingredient. Again, just as we looked at the seed being small, you know, 2 teaspoons of yeast in 4 cups of flour. Well, that's a very little bit of yeast. Yet, even though it is small, we know that it's important because if you don't put it in, well, instead of rolls, you're going to have crackers. All right? Not what you want. These, hopefully when I'm done, they're supposed to be like Texas Roadhouse rolls. We'll see how that plays out tonight. And I don't know if that means I'll sleep well or I'll sleep poorly with lots of yeast and dough in my stomach. But we look at it, it's a small and important, it's important to that whole process if you're going to make bread or certain types of crusts or donuts or cinnamon rolls. Those sorts of things that need, again, that time where they rise and they get filled with air. And it's fluffy and soft when you bite into it. I said, that's the whole process of making bread. And he says, this parable, a woman takes it and she and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leaven. Now, she wasn't trying to hide her leaven, but she takes everything and mixes it and puts that leavener in there and lets it sit. And what that leaven does is it spreads throughout the entire dough, and it grows and it grows and it fills with air, making all those glutens and all those things work that make bread what bread is. So though it's a small but important ingredient, we realize it has a significant impact. A significant impact. It changes the things. I didn't do any research to find out what the chemical changes that take place in bread when you put that in, but it works. And all that air and softness, it makes it what we want bread and imagine bread to be. You know, and he talks about that, and again, that time, and to realize, well, the kingdom. Well, we know that the kingdom is not an insignificant little thing. The big thing we see about the kingdom is the impact that it has. This isn't something that works in a part over here and a part over there, whatever. Nope. It works and it works and it works until it's changed everything that is around it. And that's the idea of leaven and what leaven does. You know, we see that usually, you know, a little leaven, we see both a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah, many times it's a bad thing. Get that leaven out of there, because what's leaven going to do? It's going to affect everything, and it's going to get into places that you don't want it to be. And so there's a warning against the leaven of ungodliness, the leaven of worldliness, and how that affects us. But yet, as we look at this, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God as it works and as it penetrates and as it spreads, and everything changes. He compares that. He says, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. You know, and in each of these things, as we look at the comparison to the kingdom, you know, I think next week, if you look ahead, some of you have great value, treasure. I didn't look at Pastor Jonathan's outline to know what all of his points were. But in this, it's like, though it may seem, each of these, it may seem like there are problems, or it's very small at the beginning. Well, the kingdom is great. And the kingdom in time, as God brings these two things to fruition and to completion, there's no doubt it's going to be spectacular and marvelous. You know, as we look at that, you know, we see that the kingdom that we are made part of in Christ is a spectacular blank. This isn't what's on your papers, but when we look at that, it's spectacular what? Well, it's a spectacular blessing. You know, there's victory. It's a spectacular hope that is ours. It's a spectacular work of God. You can fill that in however you'd want to fill that in and say, this is great. We don't look at it and say, just a mustard seed. No. We look and say, no, the completion, the maturity of that tree. Just a little bit of leaven. No, it works and works and works and works until God has accomplished and it has brings it to its completion and readiness. And though the enemy may attack it and fight against the sons of the kingdom, yet God will accomplish his plans, and he will bring forth a magnificent harvest. And as we look at that and just realize how great it is, and again, like I said, I'll leave to Pastor Jonathan, the great value and how precious it is. No, this is something big. This is something great. To realize that, well, do our hearts and our minds really get that? We must say, God has made us a part of something that is spectacular and wonderful. Given us an inheritance, a hope, a home, a mansion that is prepared for us when his kingdom comes to fruition. You know, it's important that we think about those things. Again, setting our mind on things above, thinking of things that are beyond the things of this world. Say, no, there is something that's so much greater. And I might not see it. I might not realize it all right now, but it is there. And God has made me a part of it. And that is wonderful and awesome and so gracious of him. And when our hearts and minds really get that, then we start living that way. To say, I'm going to live for the kingdom. I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and not worry about those things that I may want, because He'll add all of those things to me. He'll provide that in His way, in His time. So as you look at these parables, think about the kingdom. Just to encourage you, say, man, we are part of something great. If we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, you know, and be thankful for that and say, why am I living for such tiny little things when the kingdom is right there and it's mine because of who I am and because it's been given to me because I am in Christ. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed tonight. Our God, we thank You for this evening, and we do thank You for the hope of your kingdom. And Lord, we walk in this world and we see our struggles and we see all the attacks against You and Your glory and Your word. Lord, yet we know that You will not be defeated. Your kingdom will not fail. And Lord, because of that, we do have such a great and a marvelous hope. So Lord, help us to set our minds on those things, that at the completion, our Lord, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, just what awaits us, and that we are a part of those things now, for we are sons of the kingdom. And we just pray that You would set our minds on those things, that we might walk in them, or we might rejoice in them, and might it change and impact our lives for Your glory and Lord, for the promotion of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you are dismissed. And kids, if your outline's done, I do have suckers for you. So.